Yeah, this is Penn Jillette asking Michael Goudeau about the LA Times article.
I printed it. It's in the other room.
Which I think was on the air. Hand that to me. Which I think they said you're hot, and then I said, no, the LA Times article that I wanted. It's being delivered right now.
Here it is.
866-570-PEN-7366. I always give the phone number before I give any idea what we're talking about. That doesn't seem wise. I should actually do it the other way around. But this is Penn Jillette. We're on the Free FM. CBS is who owns the Free FM. And PennRadio at gmail.com is where you write into. And PennRadio.com is where the website is. You got something you want to say?
Well, I was just going to say you're going to go with the LA Times article rather than the Badger Herald. Okay. Well, okay. That's the way it is. Those were the two that I printed this morning. LA Times or Badger Herald.
So we're not on in LA. Are we on in Badger?
We're on in Badger.
No. I don't know if we're out of bed. A couple things I want to talk about today. I want to, of course, because I think it's a federal mandate that the Democrats put through that we have to talk about the Foley case. We must touch on that every day this week, and we will. Or we might have missed it on Monkey Tuesday. I don't know. But we're going to talk about that a little bit. And we're also going to talk about it's National Newspaper Week. Woohoo! And those self-serving Mother Hubbards have done editorials in just about every single newspaper saying, woohoo, it's National Newspaper Week. And the number of people that read newspapers is crashing, right? It's going,
it is.
It's crashing and burning. And I want to talk about what people read newspapers. And that's, you know, people that also listen, presumably, to the radio. It's a self-selected sample. We can do that work. Who listens to who reads newspapers? I read, I subscribe to the New York Times and the Las Vegas Review Journal, which are the two papers of record. Because the Las Vegas Review Journal has Norm's column, which is the gossip column here, which I believe they had a big party 3 weeks ago because he got something right. It was a very exciting thing here. Norm actually got the name of the person and the restaurant right. So it was a very, very big deal. He got the fact that Amazing Jonathan went to McDonald's. I think that was the accurate thing he got.
The time was wrong.
I was trying to think of, Cookie Jar. It was Cookie Jar,
Yeah,
he got Cookie Jar going to the Stop and Rob.
Norm is the one guy ruining the what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah,
it's his job.
Yeah, Norm promised us once that we were at a private party doing a gig. And we said, it's a private party, Norm. You can't really report on what happens here. And he said, no, cool. And we said, you know, maybe you better leave because it really isn't going to be reported. And he went, no, I'll stay here. It's a private party. I understand that. And then he reported it a week later.
So he stayed, ate your cookies, had your coffee, and then went home and...
Not actually my cookies, but the cookies of the host. Okay. It was an Amazing Jonathan party. We did a little show that Norm wanted to report on, which was just for Amazing Jonathan and a small group of people, yes, and involved... blasphemy and sex acts.
But you were not IMing pages, were you?
I was not IMing pages, but I want to talk about where I should get my news because I want to be informed. God damn it to hell. I do want to be informed. I was going to say I want to be informed badly. I want badly to be informed. I want to be, disregardless of all of that.
Norm can keep you informed badly.
Yes, Norm sure could. Yeah. And it's great because Clint Holmes had a party the other night, and I didn't go. But I really wanted, we thought we should get Norm's column, so Teller went, and it said Teller of Penn and Teller. Only one of us has to do anything, and it fits terrifically. Cause goodbye, Clint, by the way. Clint's leaving Vegas, and we'll miss him. Fabulous.
Sorry to hear that.
When you're in Vegas, make sure you go. Oh, you can't. He's gone. So why not go see Penn and Teller?
I think he's going to Atlantic City.
Is he really?
I think he is.
Yeah. He's going to London first, then to Atlantic City, which is very bad routing. But since the terrorist attacks, you can't. Terrible. Fire your travel agent. You're changing in Heathrow to get to Atlantic City. I'm having a sip of tea. I'm yelling too much. I'm trying to calm down a little bit. What's called on the radio? Puking, right? Is that what it's called? Puking. You're listening to. I want to just kind of, in terms of disclosure here, I skim the newspaper every morning. I get up. And I have this this blog watch thing, and I read a bunch of blogs. Blog Lines, it's called. I go to Blog Lines, and I read. Let me just see. I'll go to Edit so that it has all the ones that I read there. And I'm just going to tell you what I read on the on the blog lines. I read all of those the first hour I'm up. Then I skim the newspapers very quickly, and then I come in and do the radio show. And then after the radio show, 2 days a week, usually three, but 2 days a week at least, Tuesdays and Fridays, I read the entire newspapers, both of them. And I also read The Week. I usually read it also Sunday, but I also read The Week, which is the summation of news. And the blogs I read are Hammer of Truth, which is libertarian, From Reason to Freedom, which is libertarian. I read all the new urban legends on Snopes, every day, the ones that come in. I read the No God blog, Principles and Practice, American Atheist Flashline, American Atheist Action Alerts, American Atheist Press Releases, Salon, Slate Magazine, Drudge, CNN, USA Today, People, Reuters Health, Nature, Guardian Unlimited, Washington Post, SCOTUS blog, which is the Supreme Court, Medical News Today, Reuters, BBC News, YouTube, the most viewed videos, NASA Breaking News, Eureka Alert, Science and Planetary Science, Reuters Science, Scientific American, National Geographic News, BBC News, USA Today, and then it goes down to ones I don't necessarily read every day. But that is what I'm reading. That's the information I'm getting. If you want to know what the hell I'm talking about here on National Newspaper Week, that's what I'm talking about. And I read those, and then I read the New York Times Review Journal. I usually read Reason. I usually read Genie, which is the magic magazine, and I read The Week. So if you think there's something that should be added to that, where do people get their news? And I also want to talk about the Foley thing, because I've been reading the LA Times finally did an article. LA Times, you notice, isn't on my list, but it was covered in Drudge. No, it was covered in Salon, today's papers.
Okay.
They had this, and I clicked to it. Just so you wonder, wait a minute, Penn. You just gave us a whole list of what you read. The L.A. Times wasn't there, and now you're reading from the L.A. Times. Holy jumping Jesus! What the hell is going on? Well, so, yeah, I do write for the L.A. Times now and again. Washington, Mark Foley's electronic messages to congressional pages may have been vile, despicable, you have to say it like that, despicable, and outrageous, as colleagues and critics have declared, but was his conduct illegal? Now, it's very confusing. In the District of Columbia, which is often called by uneducated people D.C.,
or people in a hurry.
Hey, people in a hurry. They haven't got time. You know, that's what bothers me. You know, Volkswagen and VW are the same number of syllables. You're not saving anything by doing VW. You might as well say Volkswagen. In D.C., the age of consent. I'm a little dingy.
You're a
today.
Mess, man.
I'm a mess today. Just so you know, call in. Why is Penn a mess? 866-570-PEN 7366. Does anybody still read newspapers? And if you do, what ones do you read? What sections do you go to? Talk to me about newspapers. I'm interested in getting information.
I'm actually kind of allergic to them. I know that seems odd, but I get a runny nose if I'm holding a newspaper. I know that's. You seem stunned by that. I get a runny nose when I hold a newspaper. The good news is I have paper right there. You're just going to
blow your nose
stare.
In the newspaper. I'm shocked. I mean, if George Bush had thought of using that excuse, I don't read the newspapers because I'm allergic to them. They make your nose run?
They make my nose
is
run.
Is it the ink or the cheap paper?
I think it's the cheap paper.
Cheap paper makes your nose run?
Yeah.
You call in if you agree with Michael Goodell that cheap paper makes your nose run. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. The age of consent. Is it the ink? Is it the ink?
I don't know.
Happy Jack thinks it's the ink.
What does he know? It's not his nose.
Do a search for allergic to newspapers. Add in Michael Goodell so we get nothing that's at all extraneous. The age of consent in D.C. is 16. The kids, the pages he's writing to are 16. He can write any dirty stuff he wants to them. Although they're trying to move up the age of consent. Because, you know, kids aren't thinking about sex when they're 17. Move up the age of consent. Or making the distance regulated. So if you're 15 and have sex with another 15-year-old, you're not a predator. But if you're, 16 and have sex with another 16-year-old, you're not a predator. But if you're 16 and you have sex with someone who's 22, they could be a predator. It seems like they should just be like you can drive a car, you know, at whatever age you do, then you can drive a car. But I think that the Mark Foley thing is they could come out against him. They can make this public. although, you know, he probably had the assumption of privacy in sending these messages. But it turns out that in Florida, the age of consent is 18. So nobody knows where the messages were sent and how that, what jurisdiction it's under. But I don't know if he did anything illegal. So all this screaming about why wasn't the FBI on this, and it also makes, what's his name, the Speaker of the House. Also, Hastern?
I'm looking up this thing.
I know, Hastern. Biggs Hastern, I mean, why do you have to report when someone has their kinks? I know about Michael Goudeau's kinks. Do I report them every day on the radio? No, I do not.
Fine thing that you don't.
Let's take a phone call. Let's talk to Rick. What's up, Rick?
Hi, Ben.
How's it going, Rick?
I'm calling about an atheist biology blog that I really, really enjoy.
Atheist biology?
Right. Well, he's an evolutionary biologist who's also an atheist.
Uh-huh.
It was a pretty fantastic blog. It's called Pharyngula. It's spelled Pharyngula. And if you go to pharyngula.org, there's a link to his more current blog from there.
Okay, well, I just did a search on my blog lines. And does that give you news, though? I'm really looking for news.
Yeah, he does. He gives all kinds of biology news, things that are happening with the creationism fights and that sort of thing.
The Twin Cities were infested with rather noxious parasite this week. Dobson and his crew of holy Bible thumpers. Is that the one you're talking about?
That's him.
And I'll just click on feed, I think, and I'll be right there. I'll add that to it, man. That's added too.
And I normally get my... Hello?
Sure, you're talking.
Oh, sorry. I normally get my news from MSNBC. I find that USA Today is really kind of dumbed down.
MSNBC, you think is smarter?
Yep, I sure do.
And you get that online or you get it on TV?
Yeah. I don't read any papers anymore. Yeah. Just online news.
And do you get your news on TV at all?
No, I hate that stuff. I don't need to know what they're cooking.
Yeah, I don't get any news on TV at all. I watch no CNN, no Fox. I have it on my computer. I have like ITV, and it's there with closed caption. But I only look over to see, you know, things blowing up and stuff. Okay, thanks so much, man. Pharyngula. Is that what he said? Yeah. Pharyngula. Pharyngula.
Pharyngula.
Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
I like it.
Yeah, good. And he has, this guy's writing atheist biology. I'll add that in. I'll put that into what I read every day. What else? Let's talk to Joe. What's up, Joe?
Hey there, Penn. Hey there, Mike. Yeah, Pharyngula. I like that, too.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't really look at the newspaper so often. I mean, I look at it for, you know, Science Times and stuff. Mm-hmm. I subscribe to the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these days, most people, it's hard to bring, for example, their newspaper to work, so they can't really read it there.
Why is it hard to bring your newspaper to work?
Well, because, you know, if you're doing other things well, let's put it this way. Most jobs require using the computer.
Uh-huh.
So maybe that's why most people find it easier to use a blog or something. You just peek at that and go back to work.
What I find, though, is I find when I'm reading blogs, it's really good for reading one paragraph. It's really good for skimming. It's really good for Dennis Miller reading. But if you want to read the whole article, I find that online, it just paging down, somehow I automatically start skimming, you know. But when I'm reading a hardcover newspaper, I really do read very often the whole article, or very close to the whole article. And it's not hard to bring your newspaper to work. But thank you.
No, I think if you're holding a newspaper, it's clear you're not working.
Well, that's the point, isn't
that's
it?
That's the point.
That's what he was trying to say.
He was dancing around it, but
did you find
clear.
Anything about your psycho?
I did.
Alert?
Colophony is a well-recognized cause of occupational asthma. And it's one of the sources is wood. It's the sap from pine trees.
Yeah, but you haven't found anybody saying they're allergic to the newspaper.
This thing right here says it's common. It's common. Of course, it's a New Zealand type, but
but it's common to be allergic to wood, but not newspapers.
Yeah, I know have some news for you. Yeah, let me keep looking here. Oh, it's made of wood. Really? I did not know that.
Well, of course it's made of wood, but I mean, does it really do bring allergies?
Sticky sap tap from pine and spruce trees is the glue that is sometimes used to bind the paper, and that is what I believe I'm reacting to.
Really?
Yeah.
So you get a runny nose when you read the newspaper?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Speaking of Mike Inks.
Let's talk to TJ. Is it TJ?
Hey, yeah, TJ.
How you doing, man?
Hey, all right. By the way, real big fan, and I'm glad you're on the air, man.
Oh, thanks a lot, man.
Real quick, I wanted to talk about the decline of, like, the written word in America and the fact that it's something, I mean, something along the line happened where we started blogging and people forgot how to write. I mean, going with, from newspapers, I love to discuss news with everybody online and blogs and so forth because it gets, you know, conversation started and you can kind of figure out where the rest of the world is at, you know, and not just one reporter's issue or whatever that they may or, you know, how they want to spin the news or whatever. So it's kind of neat for that, but somewhere along the line it became okay for everyone to forget how to use the apostrophe S, and then, like, went back into the real world, and then now you'll see, like, signage on buildings and trucks, and even I've seen it in newspapers now where people just forget how to write. And,
but my business partner, Teller, who was a high school Latin teacher and is quite pedantic, when we were touring in the 70s and 80s in our little Datsun 210 station wagon going from fair to fair doing our show, we would stop at diners, and Teller was always trying to find one written menu that did not have a mistake of the apostrophe. So I don't think you can blame apostrophe craziness on bloggers. I don't think it went from the blogs into the real world. I think what you're seeing is people who aren't as pedantic writing in blogs, a more egalitarian point of view, that ends up not knowing where to put the apostrophe.
Ah.
Those egalitarians, apostrophe, just don't know where to put. But I don't think it's the blogs at all. But I think all that print stuff, you know, the U2 being written out as a letter U and 2
YouTube
being written
out. YouTube is my
YOU. Or whatever they call it.
What's that? No, YouTube is that. But I'm just saying, I'm coming over to see you. I mean, look at the Mark Foley transcripts, you know. They don't have the apostrophes there because they're hard to hit on a little phone.
On a cell phone,
but the misplaced apostrophes, I have a lot of evidence, is before blogs. You can find that in the 70s a lot.
All right, so maybe it's just my own paranoia then.
And I also want to point out that the book, that real popular grammatical book, Eats, Shoots, and Leaves.
Yes.
Eats, Shoots, and Leaves, about the koala bear. That particular joke that she uses, I think it's a she that wrote that book, that she uses for the whole thing, is so much better as a dirty joke, and that's the way it was originally told. And I wish she reported the news properly. Thanks a lot, TJ. Thanks. I just told a dirty joke on the air, I think. But it's 866-570-PEN, 7366, 866-570-PEN, 7366. We're talking about where people get their news, and I want to talk a little bit about Mark Foley being legal, but no one seems to want to. 866-570-PEN, 7366. We'll be back after this, talking about where you get your news, what you read, and why. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette, 866-570-PEN, 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com is where you can send us Gmails. PennRadio.com is the web address that you can go to. We're talking about it's National Self-Serving Newspaper Week, and we're talking about reading the newspaper. I read the New York Times and the Review Journal. I have a Review, that's Las Vegas Review Journal. I have a subscription to both of them, and I at least skim them every day. Usually read them very, very carefully. You know, by very careful, I mean like 2 hours spent reading them on Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday. I'm just trying to, and I read The Week also, Reason Magazine, Genie, which is the magic magazine. I read Juggle, and I read Bass Player magazine as well.
I don't read Juggle.
I read Juggle.
But, man, you're tough.
I read.
You are tough.
Yeah, I'm tough.
I read New Scientist.
New Scientist. Yeah, you bring in stuff with New Scientist.
Yeah, I bring in New Scientist.
I tried for a while to read Nature, you know, just plain not smart enough. I mean,
it's hard.
Just simple, not smart enough. I promised myself for a year I would read it every week. All the way through. And I would read it, and sometimes even the abstract of the paper, I'd be completely lost. You know, the recombining of RNA to make, you know, what do I know? But I promised myself to read it, which is just like going la da 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 da, you know, just sounding out the words, like, you know, like a 5-year-old. Aminio acids. You know, it was like that. So I wasn't smart enough for nature. But New Scientist, you don't have to be too smart.
Not too smart.
No, I mean, perfect. I mean, no offense.
It's a dumbed down for people like you and me.
Yeah, well, we need stuff dumbed down. Person wrote in and said I should also have the Reason blog, which I will add to my blog list. Let's talk to, let's jump around on subjects. Let's talk to Bill. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Ben. Hey, Michael. This is Bill out of Chicago.
How you doing, man?
I got to back up to last week, I think it was, when you and Michael did the summer stock production of the Mark Foley text messages.
Yeah, we crashed and burned awfully. We would have been so much better off with Cat in the Hot Tin Roof. Go ahead.
Maybe I'm missing something here, but the very fact that you two did dialogue implies to me that it wasn't this dirty old man trying to pick up innocent young children who said, don't message me again. It seems to me that they were willing participants in this, and I've yet to see anybody point that out as far as that. From what I'm seeing, it was dialogue back and forth. It wasn't, you dirty old man, stop messaging me.
Well, you know, he does say 666666666666666 when he asks for a picture. He does do that at one point. 13-6 in a row, the boy types in, which some people would consider to be not exactly a come-on. You know, when I go up and, you know, when dating and hit on a woman and she goes, 666666, you don't want to be too turned off by that.
You're gone by about 8, aren't you?
But remember that that the woman that we all fell so deeply in love with yesterday, Jennifer, who was our bondage page, who called in yesterday, and then we got like a zillion Gmails asking for her phone number, and we didn't get it because we don't have caller ID, and probably it's wrong for us to take. But I still think she was the hottest person that's ever called. And I'm actually rubbing myself now while I'm talking. But she said that, I mean my chest. This is perfectly okay. Okay, Mark. Not Patrick. Patrick has moved to a different area. But Jennifer was terrific. And she said that they're told that anything that they get that's even slightly improper, they need to report it right away. There certainly is a civil case here. There certainly is sexual harassment possibilities. There's all that stuff. But bringing the FBI in because he asked a kid how tight his boxer shorts were, a lot more than that. I'm trying to shrug it off. It was deep, full
out,
no kidding sex.
Well, the other thing, yes.
Unless
the other thing I'd love to see, I'd just love to see everybody else in Congress willingly surrender their hard drives on their computers so we can see what skeletons everybody else has hiding in their closet, because you know it's not limited to just one individual doing this.
You know, there's an article in Salon today that says it's the cover-up, stupid. And Watergate, right from Watergate on, right on through Clinton, I had very little trouble with Clinton using his power to be serviced by Monica Lewinsky. If you're not going to use your power for that, what the hell good is it? To do good for the world? Give me a break. You're getting powerful in order to have sex. But he lied under oath after that. And Foley, I think the problem about this is that they're trying to make this this big cover-up. If they just said, yeah, you know, we knew about it, we didn't know it was this bad, sorry. But whenever there's a question of who knew what and when, I always kind of go, come on, give me a break. But thanks a lot. I think, you know, it is a two-sided thing. One of the guys was working for the other guy, and that makes it a little bit weird. But I still don't think it makes it criminal. Is that your, point? Thanks a lot, man. Thank you. Let's talk to Jack. What's up, Jack?
Hey, how you doing?
Never better, boss.
One thing on this subject, thought crimes. I've heard you address it a time or two, and I can't stand the idea of thought crimes. I don't understand. How can you look into somebody's mind and see, you know, what difference does it make if they rob you or they beat you up because they don't like black people? Or they're just robbing you because they want your money.
Absolutely. When they did that hate crime in Wyoming, where the young gay man was beaten to death, and they gave them an extra sentence because of the hate crime, that same, I don't know if it was the week or the month, but around the same time, in around the same town, a pregnant young woman, like 17 years old, she and her unborn child were beaten to death with a baseball bat by the unborn child's father. beaten to death with a baseball bat in an open field, a young girl. I don't know how you can say that that crime is not a hate crime. So I don't believe in any of that stuff that adds, I believe you punish people for what they did, not what they were thinking about. But go on.
Yeah, exactly. But I'd like to talk a little bit about this guy, Norm.
Hate crimes.
Yeah, that's a hate crime. Somebody should perpetrate a hate crime with this guy. I told him one time on his voicemail that he looks like a gay pirate.
Yeah, he does have that vibe.
And the thing is, I don't have anything against gay people, but gay pirates, on the other hand.
Yeah, that's a pirate thing.
Yeah.
I think part of the raping and pillaging, to make your raping more complete, you were supposed to be at least bisexual to be a pirate.
Yeah, and you put that patch on and it's, you know, icing on the cake, I guess.
So to speak.
But, you know, what is that, I mean, that column? Is just endless lists of celebrities and where they eat? Who cares? Is that interesting?
Yeah. Well, we should also point out for people listening, like, anywhere else but Vegas. You know, the people listening in Vegas is about 12 people. So outside of Vegas, you should know that Norm is the gossip columnist in the local paper who wears an eye patch over one eye. And that's what he means by gay pirate. He doesn't mean, by gay pirate, he doesn't mean a eccentrically carved peg leg.
Yeah, I guess that would make this Norm a swishbuckler. I'm not sure.
Wow, you're very quick. My wife will love that joke. So he tells where celebrities eat and stuff, and he also publishes what Penn and Teller do at private parties. But he also, you know, people read that column a lot, and they like to know what's going on. And he's always been nice to me, to my face. What else? Anything else?
Pardon me? Oh, no, that's it. Thanks,
okay,
guys.
Thanks a lot, man. Thank you. Thanks so much. You want to? Let's talk to Kirsten. How you doing, Kirsten?
Oh, hi. I am allergic to newspapers.
Yeah!
You
lie. They make my nose
exactly.
Wrong. I'm telling the truth, and old books make me sneeze.
It sounds like you're doing Gordon Lightfoot lyrics. So old books make you sneeze?
Old books make me sneeze.
Now, Richard Feynman, in one of his books, has a magic trick that he would do where if the people had a lot of books on the shelf, he would have them open any book there at all, look at it, put it back on the shelf, and then he would come in and be able to pick up each book and smell it and decide which book they had done because of the dust being the dust mites being thrown into the air, disturbed, yeah. But you, so when you read it, do you sneeze continually or just open the book the first time with the old book and then sneeze?
It's more like if I open an old book or if I'm in a library or yard sale with a lot of old books.
You sneeze?
I'll find my, mm-hmm.
Now, do you read the newspaper?
You know, a comic book never made me sneeze or my nose run, so maybe it's a content issue. I don't know.
But when you open a newspaper, your nose runs?
Definitely. And then, of course, you know, if you wipe your nose, you get the black ink all over, so it's really attractive.
Well, first of all, you get the moisture from wiping your nose, then you touch the black ink, and then you go. That's how Hitler started, actually.
Hey, that
Hitler
looks good.
Hitler got the mustache to cover up the fact that his nose would run when he read newspapers. All right? So, you know, you're not alone. Kirsten is with you. Kirsten,
my long-lost sister.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thanks so much,
okay,
Kirsten.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Let's take... What we're talking about, if you want to call in, is we're giving advice on where to get your news. I do this thing called blog lines, and I try to read a lot of blogs. I spend about an hour first thing in the morning just reading blogs. 866-570-PEN, 7366, if you don't have letters on your phone. 866-570-7366. Or you can write in to penradio@gmail.com, penradio.com. And, we have someone that wrote in. Carol wrote in and said she commuted on public transportation, so she reads the newspaper, the paper one, every day. You know, I so much want to be a paperless household. I so much want to have everything electronic, but I still can't find a way to sit comfortably and read the computer the way you can read the newspaper, and I just can't make it sink in. Maybe I'm just too old. I mean, maybe my children will grow up and read the newspapers electronically, but maybe I'm just too old to be able to to make that change. Although I do not do that New York Times fold. Do you do that New York Times fold? Man, that's
like
cool. Robbie Libben does it. He just folds up, so it's like he's reading a paperback, and then he turns and folds and rips, and it's a beautiful... Someone must have how to read the, how to do the New York Times fold, subway folding, it's called, online. I'll check that during the break, and it's about time for a break. 866-570-PEN 7366. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. Penn Jillette. I wanted to get the show, the last hunk of the show, started with a real bang. So I get a woohoo! That's what I did. Here's where I say my name. This is Penn Jillette on the Free FM, CBS Radio, sitting here with Michael Goudeau. Norm's column today. Hefner takes on a new cachet. You wonder whether Hugh Hefner thought he would live to see this day. Hefner, 80, joins Palms owner George Maloof for the uncorking of a Playboy Club extravaganza this weekend at the 300 million Fantasy Tower. It's a big deal for us, and it's a big deal for Playboy, said Michael Morton, one of the Maloof's partners in the tower. Hefner, 80, that's how it goes on. That's the way it goes. And then somewhere down here, one of our sister stations, a CBS affiliate, KXNT AM, the Christian there, what's your name? Something. I can't find her name there, but Heidi Harris, the Christ star there, is left to have more time for herself. So that's the kind of thing Norm reports on. I guess that's real news. I guess people care about that. We're talking about news here. We're talking about National Read a Newspaper Day. Let's talk to Mike. Hey, Mike, what's up, man?
How's it going, Penn?
Never better, boss. How are you?
How's Mike?
I'm great, man. I love this guy.
I just wanted to say, I don't care where you get your news from, as long as it's not from Geraldo. I think his show, Geraldo at Large, it's like journalistic vomit.
Is he still on? Is he still on?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, the guy is like the biggest fear monger in the entire world, and he's a douche.
And he actually, of course, this is all tied in. I used to date his wife at the time's best friend. And after we broke up, I got this really unpleasant call from Geraldo. So I think Geraldo already, for personal reasons, dislikes me. So I don't want to go into trash too much because I don't believe I've ever seen a Geraldo show. So when you say get your news anywhere from except from Geraldo, I'm already doing that. So thanks so much for your advice, Mike.
I want to point out that when people ask me when I'm working as a clown, which doesn't happen so much anymore, when people ask me what my clown name was, I always said Geraldo.
Did you really?
And I got a really big laugh, just so you know. For all of you clowns out there looking for a good clown name.
Too?
What's that?
Did you have a huge mustache?
No, unfortunately I did not. But
okay.
Geraldo or Fabio are really my suggestions.
That thing alone accounts for 30% of his body weight.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. It's just it's kind of Bash Journalist Day here on the Penn Jillette Show. A guy calls up and bashes Norm, and then we bash Geraldo. But like I said, I've never seen Geraldo. He may do a wonderful show, but he was really, really nice to me while I was dating his wife's friend, and that was just one weird phone call. But he was very nice during that time. So I don't know. We had some talks, and I don't think we had really anything in common in terms of beliefs and stuff. But we hung out. We talked a little bit. Let's talk to Raj. What's up, Raj?
Yeah, how you doing?
Never better, boss. How are you?
Okay. I don't believe we're media over here, so I usually watch Euronews, which is a channel from Europe, and also BBC, which is from UK.
So you don't... where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Pakistan.
Do you read any Pakistanian news?
No, I don't believe them at all. They are just about advertisement, and they steal news from the other newspapers, and I don't believe that news at all.
So as a world citizen, are you an American citizen now?
Yes.
But as someone who's been lived in other countries and born in other countries, the news that you trust is BBC?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a little bit further down my list of feeds. I also get it on my XM radio. I listen.
Euronews, which is a very similar channel to BBC. They're very accurate. I mean, the news is, like, fair.
I don't know what you're saying. Just spell that for me. You
mean the why I like those channels?
No, your news.
Your what, news. How do you spell that? It?
Euronews. It's a channel.
Right. Just spell it.
Euro as Euro.
Oh, Euro. Euro,
Euro
news.
Euro
there
news. Okay, Euro news. Okay, I'll look for that. And what do you think is wrong about American news? What way do you think it's slanted or just doesn't have enough stuff?
Okay, my situation is, as I told you, I'm from Pakistan.
Sure.
Obviously, I'm Muslim.
Uh-huh.
And being in media over here, they criticize, I mean, you know, everything and anything against Muslims over here in media. That's how I feel. I mean, that's how my opinion is. I mean, you guys look at it a different view. But when I see the same news in your news or even BBC, they're like much more Muslim side of the, you know, world. And explain better instead of just, like, you know, blaming them for everything what's going on today.
And you think that the BBC is more pro-Muslim than the American news?
It's not pro-Muslim, but it's even, at least.
More even, you think? Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I'll check out the Euro News because that's a good name and I want to learn to say it. But thank you so much, Raj. Thanks a lot.
No problem. No.
You know, my favorite part of listening to BBC is that when they do all the accents at the beginning, this is the BBC. This is the BBC in Cairo. I love that.
Yeah, I don't know. BBC seems to have a lot. Of course, he said, of course, we're going back into people Penn has dated, but I dated an Israeli for a while, and she used to say to me, which killed me, and she used to say this all the time and with a great deal of passion, that the New York Times was an anti-Israeli newspaper. She thought that they reported news that made Israelis look bad. Let's talk to, I'm going to try to say this right, is it Karin?
Corinne?
Corinne, I'm sorry. How are you doing, Corinne?
Hey, what's up, guys?
We're doing great.
Yeah, go you, Dan Arado's wife. Now, funny thing is that guy just brought up foreign news. I heard something, I'm not sure, like, how this is true. This wasn't my comment, but I heard something about, like, Canada, that, like, all they report in their newspapers is good news. They never report anything about, like, murders or, like, depressing stories, like, our newspapers. And, like, the people there, like, there's a whole different, like, you know, aura about them, you know, so.
I think you may have heard that, but that's not true. The newspapers up there do report. We played there a long time. I was up there a long time. The newspapers from Canada do report bad news. You know, I was talking to somebody once who said that she was very depressed at all the sadness in the New York Times, all the murders and death. And my way of looking at the newspaper, and this is the perhaps a nut point of view, is when you pick up the New York Times in the morning, that is pretty much all the bad news they could find in the world in 24 hours. The reason they don't report good news is there's too much of it.
Well, also, I'm going to school to be a therapist, so people ask me, you know, you hear depressing stories all day, does that make you upset?
Uh-huh.
No, it doesn't, you know. It makes me actually feel good, like, if I could listen to somebody and make them feel better. But the reason that I was calling is, you know, my comment to say was, now think about, like, all the, you know, the magazines, the newspapers, the entertainment on TV, everything that's out today and how it's presented. I'm 24 years old,
uh-huh.
And I've taught in a lot of high schools, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, think about a couple of generations back. Let's go from the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and how newspapers, magazines, and TV was. How did people act towards each other, and how did, you know, children, you know, were a little bit more, you know, restricted, more, a little more respectful, and, you know, and, you know, the thing is today, I think that the way the media presents things that, like, basically, like, to kids, their idol is, like, to be a gangster. They glamorize, you know, I'm talking about, like, entertainment magazines. They glamorize, like, the gangster. Like, if you go back into, like, you know, like, 50s and the 60s, like, you know, think about, you know.
Well, if you go back to the 50s and 60s, you'll find that all the exact same stuff is said. During the 60s was, of course, all the hippie stuff, all the hippie stuff.
People followed.
And there was a there was all the stuff you're saying about the media glamorizing bad people.
Oh no, not glamorizing bad people. I'm just saying how you know, like how like they followed, you know, what was like in the entertainment magazines, you know, and like
entertainment
that.
Magazines did follow people who, I mean, if you wanted to talk about that, the people in the 60s with the drug busts, you know, you have all this stuff. You can go back further, and you've got Al Capone. There's always been a glamorizing of criminals in every culture. I mean, there's always been something sexy and exciting about that. I don't think there's anything new. If anything, the world today is just better. It's safer. The murder rates are down. Things are going very, very well. So you have to not be confused by what old people say.
Because of, maybe that is because of, you know, the communication that we have, like the news, the internet, you know, how fast, you know, that we can send messages, you know. We have TV, we have cable, you know, yeah. Cell phones, how fast this gets around. Maybe it is because of that the things are better nowadays.
Yeah, well, maybe it is. But so what newspapers do you read every day?
I like to read the Post.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you know, some things like I laugh about, like, you know, like let's say like movie reviews, like Siskel.
Uh-huh.
Like, right now, unless he's judging a movie based on like format and correctness. Now, how is it? I mean, a 60 or whatever, how old, 7-year-old guy gonna tell me, a 24-year-old girl, like if a movie is good? How am I gonna go by?
Right. Well,
like,
I don't ever read any reviews ever by anybody. I think you tell much more from an ad. So thanks a lot, Corinne. Did I say her name right?
I think you got it on the last
Corinne,
one.
I finally said no. I didn't ask her what she was wearing, and that's always bad. Whenever I talk to anyone on the phone and don't ask them what they're wearing, I think I've done something that's not quite right. It's not good radio to ask. Let me just take another phone call. Hi, Brent. What are you wearing?
my work uniform. They're brand new.
Oh, good.
Nice.
A little starch. Do you have a crease?
It does. It does, and they smell like fresh plastic. You know, like when you open a new remote control or something.
Nice.
And that's one of the things that people say to you when they're trying to harass you. They say, you know, your pants smell like a fresh remote control.
Are you a stormtrooper? Why are you wearing plastic?
Oh, he's out of the plastic.
Oh.
I didn't order the clothes.
So where do you get your news from, Brent?
I probably get the bulk of my news from your show.
Oh. Good. Good. Don't say uh-huh. It's good.
And I listen to podcasts, so I get it on like a 3-day delay. So
you always know what's happening. You know, there's a thing they do when people, I read about this kind of therapy because I thought it was really fascinating. There are people who have real high anxiety, and they'll have them read the newspaper 3 weeks later or 4 weeks later, read the daily newspaper, because it kind of shows you that things kind of iron out over time. So maybe this podcast thing is going to give a lot of people a sense of what kind of uniform?
What was that?
What kind of uniform you wearing?
Centoff.
What?
I think it's by Centoff.
Centoff. What job would you have? What kind of uniform?
Oh, I'm a service technician for a water treatment company.
Service technician for water treatment company. Now that may be another one we can't find a website for pornography. People in those uniforms. A lot of people hit on you when you're in those uniforms, Brent.
Wait, what was that?
A lot of people hit on you when you're in those uniforms?
I don't know. This is the first day I've been in it.
Oh, really? No, really? Well, you strut around. You call us in a few days and see how many wolf whistles you're getting. Thanks.
I'll let you know. All
thanks.
Right, thanks,
man.
Bye.
Thanks, let me pour back. Yeah, it's a fresh smell of plastic. Fresh smell of plastic when you pull your pants out in the morning.
It's also his first day at work, and he's calling a radio show. How'd you lose the last job?
And he gets all his news from our show, which means he listens often.
But a couple of days behind. He's the guy who
sits
backwards on trains.
Don't try to drive me crazy. He's listening today. He's listening live today. This is Ben Gillette that you're listening live to today with Michael Godeau. We'll be back tomorrow if the creek don't rise.